Shabbat shalom. This week's parasha is entitled Shoftim, which means judges. It takes us from Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18, through chapter 21, verse 9. Moses was instructed to choose men to be judges and officers in every town that Adonai, their God, had given Israel. These men were to always be fair in judging, so that controversies might be settled, injustices made right, the injured compensated, and the guilty punished. These judges must not show favoritism to anyone. They must not take bribe money to influence their decisions. Goodness and fairness must be at the heart of these judges. They must be just at all times. This ultimately points to Messiah, the one who would judge the heavens and the earth with truth and righteousness. In chapter 16 concludes with a strict ruling against setting up any sort of idolatrous tree or stone pillar next to the altar of God. There was to be no worship of the false goddess Ashtoreth. The Lord God, the King of Israel, will have no other gods before him. And not only was setting up idols considered detestable, but chapter 17 tells us, so was any disrespectful or irreverent service toward Adonai, such as sacrificing any animal that had a blemish or a defect. Moses also enacted severe punishment for those who would seduce anyone into idolatry. He also declared what was to be done to those who were so seduced. Idolatry was expressly forbidden, and those convicted of it were to be put to death by stoning, provided there were at least two witnesses. The judges and the priests, operating with the authority of the Spirit of God, constituted a supreme tribunal to which difficult cases were to be brought. Those judgments were final. Early in Israel's history, some priests actually doubled as judges, anticipating Israel's eventual demand for a king. In chapter 17, Moses gave strict guidelines for the selection and conduct of kings. Israel's kings was to have certain qualifications. First, he had to be chosen by God. Adonai, through his prophet Samuel, chose Saul and then David. And through his prophet Nathan, Adonai would later choose Solomon. This way, the people could be sure that God would place no one on the throne who he had not gifted to be king. Therefore, if a king failed, his failures would not be due to his lack of abilities, but a deficiency in his moral life. The second requirement was that the king must be an Israeli. There could be no conflict of interest or loyalties on the throne of Israel. But the most important obligation for the king was to grow in the knowledge of the word of God and to maintain a personal relationship with him. The king was to write out his own copy of the Torah using the official copy provided by the priests. He was also to be expected to read it regularly and take it to heart. His study of the law would not only help him to rule the people justly, but would also reveal to the king the heart and character of God. In chapter 18, addresses the rights of the priests and Levites. The tribe of Levi received no land inheritance. Adonai declared that he was their portion, but the Israelis were to provide well for them. This chapter also addresses the wickedness of divination and sorcery and those who practice such abominations. Such offenders, along with false prophets, were to be put to death. Chapter 19. Moses instructs the nation to set aside three more cities of refuge within the land in accordance with God's original instructions. If a man was slain, the duty of avenging him would fall as a sacred obligation upon his nearest relative. To this day, the distinction between premeditated murder and unintentional manslaughter is often not made. And men are sometimes killed in revenge for what was purely an accident. To prevent such a thing where possible and to provide for the proper administration of justice, these cities were instituted. And highways were to be maintained upon which the manslayer might have an unobstructed course to the city gates. Now, in the previous chapters, the focus was on serving God. Now, in chapter 20, Moses presses the duties of righteousness that must exist between man and man. This chapter repeats the 6th, 8th, and 9th commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not steal, and you shall not bear false witness. Also in this chapter, men who were newly married or in other significant transitions in their lives were exempted from military service, as were those who were fearful, lest their lack of courage demoralize the other soldiers. Now, nations outside of Canaan, but within the larger territory promised to Abraham, were to be offered servanthood if they would declare peace with Israel. Otherwise, every adult male among them were to be slain. Of the other people groups living within Canaan, not even women and children were to be spared. God knew, and history would prove, that failure to completely destroy these wicked nations will result in his people committing the very same abominations. Finally, when a murder was unsolved, the town nearest where the victim was found was to sacrifice a young heifer as an atonement for the murder so that the land would not be come defiled. Now allow me to share a few closing thoughts. Several aspects of Parsha Shoftim are fulfilled in the person of Messiah Yeshua. The first is that he will be the ultimate judge of the living and the dead, and his judgments will be just. Likewise, he is our great high priest and source of whom we should run, where we will find safety, shelter, and salvation. And of course, Yeshua is our soon coming king who will sit on the throne of David and rule over all the earth in righteousness. May he come soon, and may our lives testify that we are believers of this. Shabbat Shalom.